Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord. We are so grateful for you tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Overseer Paulette Thornton, and you have tuned into Words from the Word. Please excuse me. This morning, we will be looking at our final session on the Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm. Let's just recap. The Lord is my shepherd. He is and he is mine. The Lord of Lords, the King. He is Lord, and I hadn't made him my Lord yet. He has chosen to take me under his wing. He has assured me a position that he would be my caregiver. He has chosen to take me on an eternal journey with him. I shall not want. God will provide my every present and future need by the following process. This process will cause me to be totally satisfied, completely filled, and finished, lacking no good thing. Give me lie down in green pastures. He will bring me to a perfecting place, a place with all the resources necessary to grow me, a church home with a pastor prepared by God for my purpose, the place of a prepared word for a prepared, purposed people. He leads me beside the still waters. He guides me to share victory and has already been won and placed in a peaceful habitation. He takes me where he wants me to go. He takes me where he knows I need to be. He calms my life and longings long enough for me to hear him there at that place. He restoreth my soul. My original purpose is placed before me. My created purpose is established. That which was lost is recovered. Wounds are healed. Layers of weariness are removed. Years of disappointment are replaced with divine hope, everlasting comfort, blessed assurance, sound mind, unspeakable joy, peace beyond understanding, freedom, and an eternal security. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He is in charge of directing me along the path that will lead to his will for my life. So I will be like him and know how to possess what he has for me, not because of me, but because of his love for me and his reputation. He guides me to his holiness, where the truth of the spiritual is made known. The principles of the kingdom of God are valued. And yea, though I walk through the valley, the lowest point for my flesh, the valley is a place that seems hopeless and leaves me feeling hopeless because on all sides, high mountains block my view like insurmountable enemies. They represent my fleshly ways and thoughts and ideas, and distorted realities of who I am. The truth of my flesh is all around me, like high mountains, unsurpassably trapping me, keeping me from me assuming my rightful position. I know now mustard seed faith will remove these mountains. They are lurking. Within them are lurking the shadows of death. Those things must die, not me. But the flesh of me, the shadow, the distorted version, the evolved me, the sin conditioned me, not the God created me. I will fear no evil, no lie of the enemy, not rejection, humiliation, loneliness, darkness, uncertainty, pain of separation and change. Nor will I fear the unknown, the new thing, the divine way, the narrow way, for thou art with me. All you have revealed is at my disposal to use to overcome everything. Your spirit, your power, your purpose, your plan for me and your love for me is more to be desired than any known thing. I now can embrace the me you've created and walk in my original purpose, for I am redeemed. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, oh, what a team to accomplish me on my awesome journey through this divine process. The living word and the power of God assigned to me, taking care of every aspect of me all the time. My well-being is in their hands as I yield the old self for the new creature. They will keep me and comfort me through the transition. Thou prepare a table before me, all that is arranged on display for me to partake of as I desire, every good pleasures and all heaven's bounty, riches untold, joy, unspeakable power, authority and wealth, health, healing, favor, grace, and daily mercies, family blessings, breakthroughs, wisdom, peace, beyond understanding, the exceedingly, abundantly, the more than. And this table is prepared in the presence of my enemy. All this is done in the valley. I have not been physically removed. I have removed my physical throne of my heart. The mountains no longer obscure my view, nor distort my understanding. I see beyond them. I am no longer influenced by them, but I have been lifted up spiritually, up in the valley. The enemy has been conquered. The eyes of my understanding have been enlightened. Sin has no power, for the flesh is dead in the valley, removed, and the mountains I have climbed. Thou anointest my head with oil. He has poured his spirit upon me. I now look like a child of the Most High King. I have decreased, and he has increased the oil of gladness, the spirit of God, that will not allow me to be subject nor controlled by flesh nor sin. It can't stick anymore. The truth has made me free, and I am now seated to the day of redemption. My cup runneth over. Process was not just for me, but for those I come in contact with. I have more than enough, so all around me will be blessed by his life in me. The life I now live, I live in the faith of the Son of God. His will be done on earth through me, not just once, but continually, never ceasing. Running is the present tense, always happening. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now I can live, and the world will see Christ, not me. See God and his mercy, I am in my created place, and it is one that is characterized by goodness and mercy. The glory of God, for it is God's appointment for my life to glorify him, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My hope is real, my hope is sure, my hope is eternal, and my end is known and celebrated. The 23rd Psalm. That is a summary of the sheep view of the 23rd Psalm. So you're on the air, you're live, we're coming up to our last installment of Philip Keller's A Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm. We left off last week at surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Comments, as you have studied this portion of the 23rd Psalm, you're live, you're on the air, good morning, everyone. We encourage you to share your thoughts and your insight of surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Hallelujah. You're live and you're
good morning,
there.
Overseer.
Good morning, Elder.
How are you today?
We are blessed. We are blessed.
That is-
and you know what? We have gotten word from India, and it is awesome, the journey.
Great, wow.
That Shepherd would take us on. Powerful, powerful things are happening. And we're just humbled, awesomely humbled.
Oh, that is
by
so
it.
Awesome.
It is a powerful testimony to our good shepherd, how he has led us. And as one goes, as one sheep experiences this high mountain table journey, we all experience it. And we're all a part
of
it.
Oh, absolutely.
And we need to all celebrate.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear the experiences for Bishop. To, you know, yes. Yeah, that's exciting.
Absolutely.
That's so exciting.
Yes.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Excuse me for stepping on you. Go ahead.
No, yes. No.
No, I was just going to say at the very end of what you just read, where you said that our end is known and is celebrated. And it kind of even goes with the proclamation that you're giving that, you know, everything is going well and God is blessing and, you know, and just moving in a miraculous kind of way. That sometimes it just seems like our end is so not only so far away, but so out of focus and ambiguous and doubtful, but that surely goodness and mercy, that there is divine assurance will follow me. And then the fact that God can be our rear guard, our forward guard, our rearward guard, walk alongside us, carry us all fluidly, all at the same time. It's just such an awesome thing just to kind of remind us of what he has given us in his word. And excuse me, that surely goodness and mercy, you know, and that I will dwell, you know, that this is where I'm going to be. So even when it doesn't look like it, you know, because sometimes our relationships and our fellowship, I should say, is maybe out of line, you know, but we need to understand that we are seated in heavenly places, you know, based on that Ephesians 4 mandate, you know. So it's just an awesome thing. I'm just glad to be with you this morning.
Amen.
You know, in this study. Amen.
Amen. Are there any more? I thank God for Philip Keller, and Holy Spirit, oh, the person of the Holy Spirit. His ministry in our life is so beyond our understanding. But he navigates us to all of our good places, all of the places that we need to be at the exact time we need to be there. And so as we're studying this last phase of the 23rd Psalm, the journey of the sheep, and we realize the sheep have come to this place after their summer, and fall is coming. Fall is here. Winter is approaching. And they're looking back over their journey, and they're realizing it has established in them such a joy that in the beginning they would not have believed would have ever happened. They had no clue to such a phenomenally awesome, humbling existence was going to be theirs, that was so full of the richness of everything that they needed to mature and to develop and to calf and to multiply. And we see that even through the hardships and the troubles and all of the elements that would have slowed them down or taken them out, every need that they had that had to be met, how they had to trust. And that's where we are physically as a church as it relates to 2017. And so the first thing, I pastor is doing the first fruit and giving the first fruit. And I look at Bishop as the ministry's first fruit that we're giving to the world. We're giving it to the kingdom. I think it's 10 days, if I'm not mistaken. But that 10 days, and it's not a 10th, but the sacrifice and the things that had to happen to bring this about, and now he's there. You know, now we're there. Now God is being glorified there. There is a people that's hungry, and the author kind of talked about the sheep on the other side of the fence, or in the other farms, in the other flocks, and how they look with longing on us, on those that have the good shepherd, and how they even try to get there beyond just by accident, or trying to sneak through the fence or whatever, and how that is so, what we have is so powerful that you can't sneak to get it, it'll kill you. And that's what happened to the sheep. If they tried to get over through a hole in the fence or a break, and he indicated that the water would rise and that would make it easier for them to go from their farm to the field of the good shepherd and gorge on the goodness that is available to us, and to try to do that would overwhelm them, and it would kill them because it was too rich for the blood, for their stomachs to digest, because they weren't used to it. And how this is indicative of what we're doing in India, because they're coming through the door. And it says when you come through the door, because Christ said, I'm the door, you know, come, he is the way, the truth. And as they come through Christ, as they're coming through the ministry, as they're coming, they see a flock, and they want to be a part of that flock, and they're walking in the, if you will, protocol of things to bring them into the pasture and being fed and being nurtured and being prayed for. And they have such a hunger. They are so passionately hungry for that which we so take for granted as sheep that have been so well cared for, particularly in America.
Yes. Why don't you give your audience just a little glimpse of what's going on there, so that they can really understand and rejoice on what God is doing overseas. I mean, just you give them a glimpse, because people might not really understand why this is such a big deal.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. First of all, you know, there's so much of it that I don't know, because we don't know what's going on in the spirit realm. We only know our part of it. But one of the things that is just phenomenal, there are 27 individuals who has an anointing and a calling on their life, a Christian calling on their life from God Almighty in a country that is not serving our Father. And yet they are reaching out to where a source exists, that water. And they have Pastor Omega, who recognizes Bishop Akaba, who is connecting them to this powerful source. And in doing so, they're taking part of the teaching so that they can digest, so that they can share, so that they can give to those around them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so there's 27. And you know what? That was only the tip of the iceberg. As Bishop goes, they don't have the luxury that we have. They don't have a prayer time, an altar, come to the altar, get deliverance, get your hand laid on the hands and breaking curses. And so he's going, he's actually going house to house, just as Christ did. He is so overwhelmed with the humility and awesomeness of understanding the heart of man and what Christ did when he was here for us, going from house to house. And this is what the church is supposed to do, and praying for people, blessing medical centers, declaring the land on behalf of the kingdom, breaking the curses that's upon a nation that has this caste system, upon a nation that doesn't honor women, that upon a nation that is not God-honoring. And everywhere you go, there are idols. The first thing when he got off the airplane, and he sent us a picture of this idol, enormously sized. Just enormously sized. Him standing next to it, he looked dwarfed. Okay, and immediately you could see the warfare, because Satan doesn't take kindly to this, and yet they are dedicating schools. Apostle, when she was there, I want to make sure it's the right place, yes, in Hydroplane, we dug a well. So Labors for Christ has a well there that's providing fresh water, hallelujah, living water, as well as drinking water to an orphanage. And these children are receiving from Holy Spirit and from the ministry, you know, the love of God, and building up a generation that's going to serve and love the Lord. This is a place of darkness, and he's bringing them into the marvelous light. Some of the stuff that he does, he's sending back his reports constantly, all night long. It's never ending. And so washing feet, because it is a desert-type environment, and there's dust everywhere, and realizing that this is what Christ did, this is what he told us to do, and how as he's moved to do these things by Holy Spirit, they are receiving from the Word of God, the heart of God, and they're so passionate. He said he has not been showered with so many flowers, so much food, and he was there on his birthday. And they just showered him. It was overwhelming. And bananas are really important, and they really, you know, overloaded him with bananas. However, in their poverty state, in, you know, no running water, no flushing toilets, none of these type of things, because these are the areas that the world has turned their back on. And yet now they're receiving the attention of the Holy Creator through this sacrifice. And so that's just a part of it. Really takes the apostle and bishop to explain the really technical issues that are involved, even involved in him getting there and them accepting him and Pastor Omega. And so often the language barrier, and yet they so patiently and so hungrily wait to hear the translation, wait to understand just the hunger that we have so lost. they have such a hunger and a fire and a passion for what the Good Shepherd will provide. And so us going there into this place, and we're going again, if I understand correctly, at the end of the year, but these 27 people were ordained in a service. They were dedicated to the Lord. They were consecrated unto God. And just the magnitude of sending out an army prepared with the gospel. They've gone through the process. Excuse me. They've gone through CCTI electronically. They have outreached beyond convenience, if you will, in order to be able to prepare themselves for the kingdom of God. And so that's just a really brief kind of overview of this Presbytery of One that has gone forth into India. And so as we celebrate that, we see that our labor is not in vain, that, you know, if you will, the grunt work of the you know, that working, going through the valley, going, you know, up the side of the mountain, fighting the insects and the parasites and our own fears and our own needs and all of these things, our hunger and our thirst, you know, in dry places that we find ourselves in. And the word says, if we faint not, if we faint not, if we just faint not, we will mount up like wings, like eagles, wings of eagles. And so we look at the timing of this to celebrate our journey, to celebrate our vision coming to pass, and to see it and see God be faithful to it 20 years and bringing this network, this ecumenical apostolic network together, reaching out and bringing individuals under that oneness, that unity of the faith. And this has been our mandate from Christ, and it is being manifested in this season. And the way we manifest it is how we live and how we reflect the reputation of the Good Shepherd by just how we look, because we look like Christ. And that's how these sheep, they look like Christ. And they said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. And one of the things that the author brings out is the fact that when the sheep, when cared correctly, when they leave a land, that soil is enriched. And I'm sorry, I thought someone was saying something. Okay. The soil is enriched. Oh, no. Excuse me. And plants grow. And the fact that the Good Shepherd has taken those things that are poisonous away, they're no longer in the land. And the land is made better because the sheep have been there. So the land has been made better. The sheep have been made better. Surely goodness and mercy is following their path. The journey that they have when they leave, it is better than it was when they first got there. Yes. There was someone sharing.
No, I'm sorry.
Yes.
No, I'm sorry. My phone talks, and I thought I turned it off. Oh, no. And it started talking.
That's okay. Praise the Lord. I just want everybody, anybody that wants to share, please. And also sometimes electronically, there's such a delay. Just jump right in there. One of the things the author says is, do we leave a trail of sadness or of gladness behind us? Do we leave peace or do we leave turmoil? Forgiveness or bitterness? Contentment or conflict? Flowers of joy or frustration? love or rancor. Some people leave such a sorry mess behind them whenever they go that they prefer to cover their tracks. But a true child of God, the one under the shepherd's care, there should never be any sense of shame or fear in going back to where you have lived or been. Why? Because there they have left a legacy of uplifting, encouragement, and inspiration to others. Excuse me. And so this is what we are mandated to do, and this is what will naturally happen when we allow Holy Spirit to minister to our spirits, when we're obedient to Him.
Overseer, we will permit you to get your sip of warm our room temperature water. We can do that. She knows what I mean. Yes. Surely we can wait that minute or two.
Well, you know what? I think you all should be talking.
Yes, we should. Yes, yes. Yes, we should. Okay, Elder, keep talking.
You guys are hilarious. But I will say that in the writing, Keller talks about composure and contentment. And those two words kind of resonated with me because I think so often, just like you said, Overseer, what is it that we're leaving behind? What is the legacy? What is the history? You know, what's in our wake when we come through a ministry, when we go through a church, when we are the folks in charge, or when we're the followers even, you know, what do we leave? And when you think about composure and contentment, that a lot of times I think that this is what Keller is saying, how the flock is feeling when they're coming back into that home ranch once they've gone through, you know, that whole summer thing and up and down in the tableland and coming back in, then now they're content because they realize, like, okay, this has been a pretty good journey. You know, we've had a good run here, and now we're home. Now we're really able to rest. Mm-hmm. And then the blessed assurance that all of the provisions, all of the things have been made. You know, it's such an exacting picture of management. The way he lays out, the way the shepherd has to go before, and all of the things that he has to do and take care of. And a lot of times when we're trying to do all those things and be a step or two ahead, not realizing that you know, the Lord sees around the corner, he already has an expected end for us, you know, that was done before the foundation of the earth. But when we can start to see that and rest in that providential care, you know, our lives will be so much better than us being those wayward sheep, you know, but being that sheep just kind of going alongside with the staff just kind of right on your side, where you're feeling like, yeah, I'm right there, I'm walking, you know, right with him, you know. And there are so many ways that he gives us, and even though this is kind of a circuitous segue, but that Adele Calhoun book, when we think of those one another, then we think of those sacred actions that we can do. You know, practicing being in the presence. You know, our daily devotion, our solitude, our quietness. All of those things are like that shepherd. You know, walking close alongside. You know, because you get that peace. You know, because you are in the presence of the Father. So, you know, a lot of the things that we have been doing, and the way we know whether we're doing it right or not, you know, are we seeing the fruit, you know, that we talked about earlier? So you can just see how everything just really works together all the time if we, you know, if we dare see Christ in all that we do.
Well, as I see it as a sheep, it to me is like we're on a home stretch now. We on the last leg.
Mm-hmm.
The shepherd has carried us all through these different seasons, these the high, the valley, the low, and kept us. And I'm getting such a joyous and such a celebratory. Did y'all get that big word? I got it in there, celebratory. feeling and enjoying because God, this sheep, me, I stayed in the fold. I mean, I may have strayed off, and I may have, and a bug may have gotten on me, but because of the shepherd, and he took care of me. Now, I'm looking at home. I'm looking at where he's been leading us, okay? And I stayed in the fold, and I thank God, you know, that you brought, I stayed in with the sheep. I was led. I kept myself open to be led. That it's just a glorious, it's just a glorious to know. Even, you know, all of the things that may have happened on the journey, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just good to know that we made it. We're looking at it. We're looking at where the shepherd is trying to lead us, and that we've come through all these things. So I mean that's
amen.
Yeah, that's
amen.
I'm the sheep. Yeah,
we the sheep. Okay. And
all right.
Indicated,
all right.
You know,
right.
Their year journey was coming to an end, and the journey, the whole point of the journey was for them to mature and build them up. Remember, this is the shepherd building up his flock, and so the flock needs to be increased. They need to multiply. They need to get muscle strong. They need to grow their wool, because these are all things that, as a shepherd, the sheep provided for the shepherd. And so it was a two-way street. And I love it when the author indicated that though the journey was a blessing for the sheep, absolutely, but it was also a blessing for the land, because the land was better for the sheep having been there with a good shepherd. And the good shepherd had a joy and was blessed by the sheep. So when he looked upon his sheep, when he looked upon the condition of his sheep and the contentment of his sheep, when he looked upon the maturity of his sheep, they were strong, they were beautifully fed, they were well behaved, they had multiplied, they had their offspring, and their offsprings were thriving. And so now he's bringing them home. And the author indicated, as in the journey, it meant returning back to the ranch. Well, in the ranch, there were covered places, because that's where they spent the winter for the sheep. There were places in their stalls, and I don't, he called them covered places, and I don't have a frame of reference that I can, you know, visually, but they said it was covered places for the sheep. So it was enclosed. It was, the danger was gone. It's not there anymore, because the good shepherd has provided, and now you're in, and the author indicated that this coming home to the ranch, if you will, was being dwelling in the, and as he said, in a dwelling house of the Lord. It was in and the house, presence of the Lord. I'm on the ranch now. You know, not that I'm in heaven. I am here, but I am so hid in Christ, and I'm enjoying, I am experiencing his presence continually, because I've learned how to recognize it. I've learned how to rest in it. And so now he's taking me, and I think of it, to heavenly places, because we sit in heavenly places. So he's taking us there. And he, and now we go and we rest there with him. You know, we rest well matured and on display. We're on display. That's what the God did so in CCI. Job was on display. And God told Satan, look at him. You know, so God wants to brag on us. Look at my servant. You know, look at my children. Look at my sheep. You know, there is a joy he has in seeing us mature and seeing us develop through the persecution, you know, and how it creates it. Now they're back to what I created for. Now they look like they did in the garden. Because that's the
whole point.
Now what my son has done is seen and known by the world. Because the people saw those people when they first went out, and they were in need of help, which is why they were on the journey. And so now, you know, as we dwell in the house, you know, now we're on display in his gallery, if you will, of his kingdom. And we aren't a part of the world, but the world is seeing us. And I just love that analogy, or it wasn't an analogy, this reality of where this author was on his ranch and the ranch that was next to him, and how it is so indicative of a good shepherd and what Satan does to his people. And one of the things that happened to three of the other sheep that found their way into his ranch, and he had to take them back because they didn't belong to him. And they didn't come to him through the right way because they belonged to Satan. And he said, and they were so weak and just, you know, messed up on the inside, and their legs wouldn't hold them up, and he had to put them in a wheelbarrow. And when he took them back in that wheelbarrow to the owner, and the owner looked at them, slit their throats without a moment, anything, and disposed of them. And that's just what Satan does to us.
Yeah.
You know, when he gets us in a place that we're so weak and so messed up and just so, you know, that reprobate mind, and we're just so undone, he cares nothing for us. He said, and he just split their throat. And the author indicated that had he been able to purchase the sheep, how he would have not fed them what the other sheep were eating. He said he would have started with the very weak kind of grain that, because they wouldn't be able to you can't go right against the state. You know, he would have weaned them up and built them up to be able to digest the good of the land. And so often we want to go in and digest the good of the land, and it's like, no, we're only able to do that because we went through the trouble. Because we went through the valley. Because we, you know, because we went through the fears and had to be delivered from them. Because we had to learn how to wait patiently for the water to come and for him to provide the need for our thirst. Because we had to move when we didn't want to, but he told us to. You know, because we had to be anointed, you know, when we bumping our heads up against a stone wall, you know, and fighting amongst ourselves. So the reason we were able to indulge in the richness of what was in the Good Shepherd's house was because we had gone through those bad times, those troubled times, those challenging times, those sick times, you know, those things that we tend to run from and want relief from. Or we don't want relief. We want to avoid them. But they can't be avoided, or else we cannot enjoy, we cannot partake. In fact, as the word says, you know, you don't suffer with me, you can't reign with me. You know, I'm out here with you, you know, and I'm going to bring you through. But when we come down from the mountain and you've matured and we go to the home ranch, you're going to reign with me. You're going to stand as my bride, you know, as my trophy, you know, as my reputation, you know, to the world. And they're going to see this is what happens when the good shepherd is allowed to rule his flock. And so and when he says, and it's not just for a little while, just like for that other farmer, he didn't have that love for his sheep. He was a hireling. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He just wanted them to get what he could get. He didn't care about them. He didn't care about the land. He didn't care about anything except for him his own self. Whereas ours, mm-hmm. none of them care about us. And after we've done this journey, he ensures that our connection will never cease because
mm-hmm.
of the love that's been established between us. It will be there forever. And
mm-hmm.
as the author says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And this is a surely thing. And it's got nothing to
mm-hmm.
do with me. Because he has done it all. And when Christ said it was finished, it is finished.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just
mm-hmm.
up to us to open our eyes and surrender to the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of our good shepherd so that the rod and the staff will comfort us and
yeah.
be with us
yeah.
and bring us to that perfected place. And so that
uh-huh.
what I read in the beginning was one of the things that we had prepared for the wonder when we did it for the 23rd Psalm. And I just
uh-huh.
love the ending when it says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My hope
uh-huh.
is sure. It is real
yeah.
and is eternal. And my end is known and celebrated. And
mm-hmm.
as Romans tells us, our hope is in Christ. And he's real.
Mm-hmm.
God yeah. raised him from the dead. And that's a sure thing. And so we
mm-hmm.
are forgiven our sins because he died on the cross. But we have a
yeah.
hope in him, which is sure and eternal because God rose him from the grave. And he does live forever. And so the end, it's known. We know the end already. We know our end, and we know the end of the enemy. And yet we don't celebrate it. We're looking at our present part. We're looking at just this one part of the journey, and it's just so hard, and oh, my goodness. You know, so we grumble, we complain, we whine. You know, and it's like, you know the end. You know, that was one of the first words God ever gave me to give to someone. It just really, you know, I never did stuff like that. But he wanted this young man to know that in the end, God said, I win. You know, so the enemy is defeated. He's in the end. I'm going to win this. You know, this whole thing is just being played out. But I know how it's going to end. You know, and so let that be what motivates you. Let that be what comforts you. Let that be what causes you to stand when you don't want to, when you don't think you can, when you think the enemy
uh-huh.
is overwhelming you. No, greater is he, and he wins. That's you know,
yeah.
and anybody with a lottery, if you know what the number is, you're going to play
ah.
it. You know.
Ah.
Okay.
Okay.
You're not going to say, well, maybe, but I'm going to change this part of it. No. This is what the number was. They told you the $50 million about every number. This is it. You're gonna take it just like they give it to you.
Hallelujah.
Hold on to it. And you're going to, even before, if you know this, I mean, this is what it's going to be. You
yeah.
be spending
uh-huh.
that money before they pull them numbers out that little hammer thing. Whatever they call it.
Yeah.
It's a sure thing. And he said, surely. Surely,
surely.
I love that word. Surely. I love the prepared because that's what he's done for us. That's he's done it. And that's why it's a sure thing. It's a sure thing. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yes, 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 yes.
Praise God.
He can trust us to stand with him.
Man?
He can trust us to stand with him.
Amen.
Yes, he does.
Amen.
You know what?
Amen.
Amen. Evangelist. And you know what? He entrusts us, and he wants us.
Yes.
You know, yes. If there was somebody that wanted us as bad as Jesus wanted us, we'd be on their side right now. Okay? if there was a rich man, and, you know, I'm sure there is, that Bill Gates or whatever, whoever got the most money, if they kept calling your house and calling your house and sending people over there, come on, join me, come on, join me. They would only have to call one dad, and we would be
hello.
Over. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wants us to. He's inviting us. Come on, you know. And I love that song. Come on up the bright glory. You know, and I used to wonder, what on earth is bright glory? Okay. They were talking about on that tableland. They were talking about up that mountain. Come on up here.
It
is just such a blessing to be able to, the Holy Spirit, to bring this knowledge to us and open our eyes. To some things and realize like what Evangelist was saying, he wants us, but he trusts us.
Yeah.
And you know why he trusts us? Because he know he's doing it and we ain't. He know what he made. And he know how he made it.
So
he go high.
Right.
Hallelujah.
It's a blessing.
Yes, it is. It is a holy, holy, awesome, such grace and mercy, so that we don't. And how many times does the scripture say we kick against the brick? We really kick.
Oh, my.
Kicking
and
screaming. And he's trying to give us the good stuff. Exceedingly, abundantly, above all.
I think about, as you say, and we're on this journey, and just to visualize this whole flock, we look over to the left, and you see some other sheep, and they're out there doing something else, and you're trying to stay in the fold, but it's inviting to what looks like they're doing and enjoying themselves, but we keep an eye on the prize, and we walk in
straight,
and then we wander over there where they're having fun at, but then how quick, and then the shepherd, hey, God, bring us back. Come on back over here. Oh, my God. Thank you.
Which is why I love the scripture. They say, let the eyes. Yes, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go on.
In that other place,
we don't have that love that we have with him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When we sometimes we wander away, we thinking we're going to get the same type of love. We're not getting the love. No love surpasses our God. No love.
Mm-hmm.
No love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we know where we come. We loved here. We love with him.
Amen.
So when he loves us, he's keeping us, taking us through. Even though we're going through some difficult times and stuff, but he takes us through it.
I encourage us. And just like you say, you know, they're having fun. Let's take a real close look. Ask him to enlighten our eyes so we can really see what's going on over there that we think is fun. Because we have to first remember, he's a deceiver. So things ain't what they look like. But if we take a close look, we'll see it too. And then it'll free us from even looking over there like, I ain't even looking over there no more. You can see people even with have all the money in the world, and their eyes are dead. The Bible says the person that wants increase will never be satisfied with it. The person that is dealing or loving silver will never ever have enough of it. You know, so it's always trying to get more and more because it's never going to satisfy you. Never. Mm. And so we're going to pray that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. So when we look over there, we'll see the truth. The scales will fall off. We will not be deceived. And we'll look close. And like you say, do you see any love over there? Do you see what the real love? Not the world love, but the real love. Some lasting love. You know? Or somebody say, how long have they been in this one?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
We're going to have a God type view. And we will not be deceived.
No.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Yes. And that's it.
Good
where the
stuff.
Love is. That's how the good shepherd does is with the love.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You, God. Awesome.
Amen. Yes, yes. So we are
overseer.
Going to, yes.
I was just going to say this,
yeah.
that very last verse in the 23rd Psalm out of the Amplified, you know, we always talk about I will dwell in the house of the Lord. But it talks about basically in his presence shall be my dwelling place. And to me the semantics on that as opposed to I'm going to dwell in his house where the inference is on me being that whole content and composure and I'm in his presence. So I will be able to dwell if I position myself and, you know, align my behavior with what he is telling us. You know, I mean practically, because obviously, you know, we're seated. You know, our posture and our position, you know, are two different things. You know, that we're seated. But that last verse says, surely or only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. And through the length of my days, the house of the Lord and his presence shall be my dwelling place. You know, and I mean, it just has a different ring than I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not, certainly not saying to do disparaging against the word. But you know what I'm saying? It's
amplified
how it gives you a different, a whole different kind of thing because we can be in his presence. That's a choice of ours.
Yeah.
You know, we as sheep we move away from him. He doesn't move away from the sheep. He never abandons the sheep. You know, it's the sheep that wander off and get stuck in those kinds of things. And so he has made it so that we, you know, have the ability to be in his presence forever in a being and doing, you know, and experiential, all kind of like all at the same time. You know, that it's fluid. It is, you know, it's just so awesome. This has been a blessed study. You know.
Powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll never
look
at sheep
again.
Scripture tells us.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Elder, I really like what you just said, though, that he doesn't leave us. It's us that do the wandering. It's us that do the wandering. But he's right there. And oh, my God. And, you know, but now... You know, and I'm saying, I think if it was up, you go, oh, there she go again, going off the path.
And how about this? Yes, sister. How about this? Don't we say that? Don't we say that?
Yeah.
When our own, when our fellowship, that's that one another. And we have to change how we respond to one another's wandering.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You know, and we have to have that same love, you know, because and the Bible says and also the author shares the fact that this goodness and mercy has been given to us. We need to give it to other people.
Others.
You know,
Amen.
So we need to have our response to be like Christ's, like the good shepherd. So run after them, you know. Don't go, oh, there she go again. I'm going to let her learn a lesson. I'm going to leave her out there. You know, what did she do? She done did something. That's why she or he. You know, and so we have to change our thinking and our mind to one another even so that
we have the mind of
the good shepherd. And so just because we've gotten this mercy, we should be the first to jump and give it to somebody else. Not to condemn them, but it says love covers a multitude of sins. Not to point out their sin, but to love them through it.
Right.
Yeah. Because one of the things that the good shepherd does through our wandering, he always loves us. And not only that, through all of our, whatever we're going to do, he's already made arrangements to undo it, if you will. We need to be quick. We need to be quick to what is here, slow to speak against our brothers and sisters, even to speak it in our hearts. is speaking.
Amen.
You know, so if you think that way, somebody say to me, oh, there she go again. Are you kidding?
Mm-hmm.
If God did that, we'd be done.
Oh,
okay. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
Amen. And let
thank
it transform
you.
Our thinking. Because, see, that's what happens when the sheep, they take on the character of the shepherd. They take on that love. They take on, you know, that richness that's a part of the shepherd. And that's what we have to do. So we should have that compassion, that long-suffering. How many times did he have to do it? You know, and it's like we count. You know, the shepherd counted, he'd have counted us out. But because he doesn't keep count how many times I've done this, okay, you ought to know by now.
Right.
You know, and even the fact that it may happen to me because it happens to my generation. So he's not going to condemn me because my generation erred. But he's going to lovingly even work with me. You know, and so even if they don't understand, why is that sheep always going? Maybe that's what's in their blood from their mama or their dad. And what do? You know, we have to change how we view as we have to look. We need a God's eye view of not just our life, but of one another. Because we have to understand how much he loves those people that get on our nerves. You know, how much he loves, you know, those sinners. How much he loves, you know, the most difficult, unlovable people. He loves them so much, he died for them.
Yeah.
He died for them. And so how dare we condemn them?
Oh, my God.
But rather giving them his love, because that's the only way they'll get it.
Yeah.
It's through our lives. He says, the life I live, I no longer live by the flesh. I live it through the faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus can change lives because he died to do that. And so we do. We want to be very mindful of how we now not just view our pastors, but also view the sheep and the flock with us. And what we're doing, how are we affecting them? Let's make sure we're not putting scabs on them, you know, making sure we're not bumping them out the way because this is my seat. It's all pushing them out of their place because we don't like the way they pray and bless me. I'm going to stand in line for somebody else to do it, okay? Just make sure the anointing is what's doing it and not the person. You know, that I don't want to go and hear this person. I want to hear that person. You know, that is being preferential, and that's not what Christ did. That's not what the Good Shepherd did. It didn't matter.
My God.
He loved, and he loved
all the sheep.
Unconditionally and all.
Yeah.
Whosoever. Amen.
My God. It does make you think about how we treat and feel about each other.
Amen.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I truly, one of the things that I love about God, we were wrong. All we have to do is repent. And
Amen.
And it's like it never happened. And we have opportunity. Well, they say ministry opportunity. We have a ministry living opportunity that this and going forward. You know, we won't do that. We won't think that way. We will desire the fruit of the Spirit so that the body is edified and God is glorified. Because the Scripture tells us if we're in his presence and we dwell in there, y'all, we there, then we need to act like we're in. And he says, in my presence, there's pleasures forevermore. So you don't have to seek your own pleasure or your own preference. Just seek my presence. And everything you need to bring you joy and peace, you'll have. Yeah, all the fun in the world, all of the pleasures, all of the dainties are there where I am.
Yes, my God, wonderful, praise God.
So, Saint, we're not real sure what's going to be the next offering for words from the Word, but we are sure that it's going to be what the Lord wants. We have a couple of things that we're praying about and seeking wisdom of God as it relates to. We welcome suggestions. I know that I did receive one, a layman's look at the Lord's Prayer, and that's under consideration. In fact, I'll share with you what's under consideration. We're considering a layman's look at the Lord's Prayer. We're also considering, and that's by Philip Keller, we're also considering Experiencing God. And that is by Henry Lackabee and Claude King. We're considering the divine revelation of hell. And I don't have an author now. And the other offering was in conjunction with, and I didn't know how many people were in CCTI, this unit, and just trying to not add to, you know, a workload, but enhance the workload that's already, that you already have, because it's a lot, and bringing into our study what we call Defend Your Faith, and just some informational sharing on biblical concepts and principles that we need to be able to articulate so that as we go forth, we're able to share verbally and even written and you know, on computer and different things with other people. So many things that we believe and we know in our spirit, but we're not always able to articulate them, to share them with other people. So we have evangelists on the line here that definitely have been there and done that. So they would be a great asset in a study of that nature. So we're in 2017, and so we're just seeking the direction that the Lord would have us to go. Each one of the offerings, you know, has obviously spiritual maturing benefits. I'm probably leaning more toward the Experiencing God by Henry Lackabee, mainly because it's in line with the shepherds and the sheep. So it's like, how do you experience the love of God? How do you respond to it? How do you see it? How do you know it? And it's so much of what we do. Sometimes we don't do because we're just not sure. You know, Lord, is this you, you know, the thing? And I need to know. And so having some insight into experiencing the love of of the Good Shepherd and the guidance and the direction of the Good Shepherd would be definitely a positive for us. So those are what we will go forward in, and we just pray that you'll be in prayer for and with the agenda of 2017 for Words from the Word.
Amen.
Anything that you would like to offer for consideration, please do so. And it's not that we won't do all of these this year. Okay. We just got to figure out what's next. Amen.
All right.
Amen.
So to get an understanding, overseer, we do have one more of this.
No.
This is it.
For the 23rd song. Yeah.
Well,
I should boil it down to the Lord.
I know, but listen, as my father used to say, Well, I thought we could run over that one more time. But that, I mean, it's been so good.
Yeah, yeah.
It has been so good.
I honestly, I do have a summary that I could present that kind of summarized everything we went over. Because you know what? That's not a problem. We can do that next week, and, you know, especially while we're trying to decide what's next. And you can outline and be ready to present your most powerful moments of the 23rd song. Okay.
All righty, man. All right.
I haven't seen him lately. Hey, man. So that's a good suggestion. Absolutely. And this is the last program for the month of January as well. And we are, you know, preparing to go into what they call the Lent season and resurrection. And we have those going to Patmos. So there's so many things that are on the horizon for this section of the kingdom. And, you know, we do want to be in harmony with that. So, absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. All right, then. We will meet next week if there's nothing else.
Mm-hmm. All right.
God bless
all right.
God.
Just,
God bless you all.
Amen. And you as well. Enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless.